Technorama episode 554, Robot Santa is coming to town.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, my wife wants a VHS copy of Jonathan Taylor Thomas's I'll Be Home for Christmas. You got it?
Over there, in the media corner.
It's like Amazon.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Hey, welcome to Technorama. This is a show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time joining us, well, thank you very much. It's the holiday season. Give yourself a present and listen to Technorama. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi. Joining me, as always, is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing good. Actually, when you said it's the holiday season, I was ready for you to start breaking out into the song.
No, I don't sing Christmas songs with real words anymore. They're all mixed up and mashed up. Craig's already been hitting the holiday cheer tonight, so this ought to be interesting.
Hey.
More interesting than usual. Yeah. And also joining us once again, our tenant?
Tenant. You're a fine landlord, Chuck, let me tell you. You and Donna.
Current resident.
Yeah. Resident PA.
He's even taken to put his name in the mailbox with ours. So
yeah. Your mailman did that.
Oh, they did?
They did. Yeah, they put my name in there with it.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is cool for them. Yeah.
Chuck's going through the mail going, oh, current resident. Here you go.
Yeah. This is old Brian. These are good Brian.
Mary
yeah.
is getting more mail and packages than we are, which is saying something.
It's hilarious, actually. Yeah, I love to, you know, it's welcome to the, you know, the Christmas season with Technorama, the gift that keeps on giving. Oh, wait. No, yeah, that's something else. Yeah, something else.
All right, we have some feedback. Let's get right into it. Yes. I'm going to mash this song up next.
Oh, yeah, you should.
Where's the song mangler when you need it?
Yeah. Reach right in and pull one out. If only I knew the words.
I like to imagine all the Santa's elves are singing this.
Oh boy! Mailman! Mail today!
This is definitely going through the song masher. We got mail from Claudio Miranda, longtime listener and wonderful all-around person. He says, hey, Chuck and Craig, great shows, by the way. I think you have a successor to Iserol with Oni Zeruni.
Oni Zeruni, I like that.
Which is, if you spell 101, that's how it looked like to me.
Actually, it sounds more like an Italian dish or a vegetable.
I thought it was that song by Tommy James and the Shondells. It you come down, sing Oni Zeruni. Anyway.
Wow.
Stretch, when you have kids, okay. They mess with your mind for the rest of your lives. They just have this great perception on the world, and I never see anything again. But maybe I messed with them. Who knows? Time for another bumper? Maybe. He says, get on it. As for what video game I'd like to be reborn in when I die, I refer to my answers from the previous question, Gyrus, especially with that TNF in DM theme. I'm going to assume...
It's Kata and Fugue in D minor.
Oh, theme. Yes. Okay. Thank you. Yep. Whew. It's been a long week. It's
I
been
understand.
A trying afternoon. No Man's Sky would be a good one, too. I'll even throw in some interactive fiction like Adventure, Zork, and Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Mm. And sure, why not be the block?
In Atari's Adventures.
The block.
Yeah, because that's what you were.
The magic dot.
No, you were the block.
Oh,
I mean,
the block.
The whole thing. It's like, hey, why not be a block?
It's like saying, I want to be reborn as a duck. And you swim in circles or something, you know, it's like, I want to be the block.
The block. Yeah, I love he says nothing like fending off giant ducks, which is basically the dragon. That's what the dragons look like. Yeah.
When you kill them, they look like a duck.
Yeah,
they do.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, so funny.
With a huge pair of brackets. Yes, grab the bridge because everybody hauls around a bridge.
Right, I know. It's like, you pick up anything. It's what's hilarious about it.
Oh, and Craig, challenge accepted, though.
Yes.
I'm sure you'll own me anyway because, you know, they had that gyrus.
Oh, yeah, the big throwdown, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He signs this one 0x.
I'm telling you, muscle memory. I can play that game like crazy.
He signs this one in hex, though. Instead of binary, he's doing a hex 5.
I see that.
0x5. Or is that ox 5? No. It would be
0.
If you write 0 times 5, it would be 0. Or you write 0 5 times. Think about that, Perl programmers.
Okay, there you go.
Perl programmers. Oh, my God.
If you want a repeating character.
Yep. Jeez. Wow.
That's pretty sad. Question of this week is, when you die, what video game would you like to be reborn in? Live from chat, John Miller Jr., of course, at Mega Man X. Mike Wills, Final Fantasy. Claudio says, ooh, I should have waited until the end of the response. Whoa, my scrolling just got a little crazy.
I'm sorry. I deleted something.
Oh, Craig, editing on the fly.
Yeah. Until the end of the response, because I just heard Craig's game reincarnated in Glad I'm Not the Only One Who Would Pick Gyrus, even if Craig does wipe the pixelated floor with me with it, as I said, it's on.
It's on.
And Facebook answers for this particular question. I accidentally
pulled it.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's two aspects to our challenge. One, I got to go where Claudio is. Two, we got to go where Claudio is and a gyrus machine.
Oh, there you go.
Good
true.
Luck, buddy. Good luck.
Yeah, figure it out.
Yeah. Clinton says, Star Trek Online. I want to roll everywhere. There's a story. If you heard his Dog Days of Podcasting last year, he played Star Trek Online, and he couldn't quite figure out how to walk forward.
So he rolled everywhere.
First was this rolling motion, and everybody's just looking like nothing's happening. There's this person rolling around. No big deal. It happens all the time.
The hilarious thing, he's rolling and talking about it. Then he goes, hey, I like what you've been doing around here. You know, gets a promotion.
Yeah. Congratulations, cadet rollover.
You're now admiral.
Yeah, you're admiral now.
JT Shea says, Leisure Suit Larry. Good answer.
That is a pretty good one.
And David Kolbach says, Secret of Monkey Island for sure.
I would think something like World of Warcraft, maybe. Now,
I thought I had a share on this also, and you may... Let's see. I have two comments on my share.
I was going to say, go check out your share.
Dan Farenbear says Animal Crossing, and Michael Slobodnik says TIE Fighter, one of the best games ever.
Yeah, those aren't too bad.
Alrighty, good answers.
Yeah,
good
but is
question.
That like a game you want to be reincarnated in? I mean, think for a second.
Stuck there for the... Well, wait a minute. If reincarnation happens over and over again, as soon as you die, you're in another game, right?
Well, wait a minute. So, true. I love Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, all right? I love reading it and being an observer, but imagine being part of that whole...
That universe? It sounds pretty horrible. Like,
yeah. You're right.
It is pretty
horrible. You wouldn't want to be on Earth because it doesn't last very long
Exactly. Got to make way for the freeway.
Yeah, that's the short end of this.
Listening to Vogon poetry, I'm sure that'll be wonderful too.
Yeah. No, yeah. I think like an MMO would be a good way. Like Clinton said, you know, Star Trek Online or, you know, World of Warcraft, something like that.
Somewhere where there's a rich universe you can explore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we never heard Duck Hunt.
Duck Hunt.
I want to be the dog in Duck Hunt.
Yeah. Don't be the duck.
Yeah.
What was the submarine game?
Subnautica or no?
Seawolf.
Oh, yeah. Oh. There you go.
Space Invaders. Let's go real old school. All right. We're going to get our die out.
All right. You're going to do Google, right?
Okay, Google. Roll a D20.
Coming right up. You rolled a 12.
That's better than usual.
Nice.
Hey, I got my hands up for a reason here, by the way.
You're being held up?
Stick them up!
Look. Suburban robbery?
I rolled a 20. Here we go.
Alrighty.
All right. I got 17.
The best roll I've had in weeks, I'm still last.
So, Craig, Brian, Chuck.
Yeah.
All right, we're going around.
Hold on a second. Let me read the name. Yeah, it's okay. I can go first.
You good like that? Okay.
It's the birthdays we run into problems
with.
Yeah,
it's true.
All right, roll the music. On this day in history for December 19th, 2018, this is the 353rd day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are only 12 days, people. 12 days remaining in the year.
Wow.
Oh, that's my cue.
Yeah.
It was on this date in 1606 that the ship Susan Constant, Godspeed, and Discovery depart England carrying settlers who founded at Jamestown, Virginia, the first of 13 colonies that become the United States.
Good for them.
Also in 1776, Thomas Paine publishes one series of pamphlets in the Pennsylvania Journal entitled The American Crisis.
And most people would have thought it was now. Common sense.
Yeah. I thought that was just the crossover with the CW shows, wasn't it?
Exactly.
wasn't his most famous one, Thomas Paine's Common Sense?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Hey, try reading that. It's hard to read.
One of his lesser known ones. It was also on this date in 1924 that Rolls-Royce Silver Ghost is sold in London, England in 1924. Wow.
And also on December 19th, 1932, BBC World Service begins broadcasting as the BBC Empire Service.
Oh, my. That's awesome.
Soon to be taken down by the rebels. Stupid rebels.
You are listening to BBC One.
46 years ago today, the last manned lunar flight, Apollo 17, crewed by Eugene Cernan, Ronald Evans, and Harrison Schmitt, returns to Earth.
Oh, the last
manned. Yeah.
Wow. That same date in 2013, spacecraft Gaia is launched by the European Space Agency, or as we kids say, the ESA.
All the cool kids say ESA.
ESA. And happy birthday goes out on this date to American astronomer and educator John Winthrop, born on this date in 1714.
That's one down.
Albert Abraham Michelson, Prussian-American physicist, chemist, and academic, Nobel Prize laureate, was born on this day in the same date in 1852.
He was a chemist?
Chemist-assist and academic-assist.
American mathematician Grace Marie Barrès was born 143 years ago today.
And born December 19th, 1901, German engineer invented the Hellschreiber-Rudolf-Hell. Whoa, what is that?
He invented the Hellschreiber.
Yeah.
Hey, it's got hell in there twice. Rudolph.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It's got hell in there twice.
It's got to be a hell of a job.
Ukrainian-Russian marshal, engineer, and politician, fourth head of state of the Soviet Union, Leonid Brezhnev, was born 112 years ago today. Wow.
I remember when he... Now, most people recognize him as the leader of the Soviet Union.
Right.
The fact that he had engineer in his title was what drew me out on this one. Like, I did not know. I want to know what he did.
Yeah, I didn't either, but I just remember for his eyebrows.
Yes. He was the quintessential Russian eyebrow guy.
Yeah.
American actress Cicely Tyson is 94 today.
Wow.
And born December 19th, 1924, Italian engineer Carlo Chieti.
Also born on the same date in 1944, Kenyan paleontologist and politician Richard Leakey.
Ooh, Mr. Monkey Man himself.
Yep.
And, well, he was the son of Louis Leakey, if I remember right.
I don't remember.
Yes.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
The Leakey men.
They're very leaky. They couldn't hold their liquids at all.
Hold on. Gotta go to the bathroom.
American actor and director Tim Reed is 74 today.
And Robin Ulrich.
Wasn't he Venus Flytrap?
He was.
He was Venus
Flytrap.
Not Tuvok.
No, not Tuvok.
So Robert Ulrich, the American actor and producer, was born 72 years ago today.
Oh, 72, man. Too? Wow.
Well, he felt like he was in his 40s when he was making Vegas.
Probably. Hey, here's another one to make you feel old. Also turning 55 today is American model and actress Jennifer Beals.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh. She must have been like 17 in Flashdance or something.
Yeah, I know. She was really young.
Not that far away, man.
Yeah, she was really young.
It's not. It's like right knocking on your door, Craig.
Crazy. Sort of. What, 50 next month?
Yeah, I'll be 50 next month.
He's got that beard going for a reason.
Yeah, there it is.
He's got
I'm going to let it grow out. I'm doing ZZ Top, man.
No. American magician. Here's another one who's older than you thought. Chris Angel is 51.
Dang.
And also turning 46 today is American actress and television personality Alyssa Milano. She's only 46?
Wow.
No, she's already 46. She's supposed to be like 16 forever.
Ugh. I know. That's what I thought.
Listener birthdays on this day. We're going to clear out the year because this is the last show we're going to be doing. We have holidays and family and whatnot. Yeah.
Stuff.
So December 20th, Phil Burchill, the 9-year-old I started listening to Technorama when I turned 21 this year.
Wow.
Oh, man. And that was last year. Ago. So now it's 22.
Yeah.
21st is James Ballard, a.k.a. Carrick Sindrew. Bo Pace on the 22nd, also on the 22nd. Luke Chuckstocker Smith. He was born in 2000. Dude, he's 18 now.
Dang.
Wow.
Oh, man.
I'm getting old.
We watched a generation grow up on Technorama. This is terrible. We must stop it.
No, keep it going. Keep it going.
Jason Poloni from Tampa, Florida is also on the 22nd. Richard Green, a.k.a. Mainframe, on the 23rd. Mad Boom on the 24th. Joel Parks is on the 25th. I believe it's Charles Men on the 29th. Shadowbird's Mom on the 31st. And also on the 31st is Mr. Sim. That's the way it was on this day in history for December 8, 19, 2018.
And we wind up with the band.
If you want to get your name on the birthday calendar, go over to our wiki at chuckchat.com/wiki, and we would be happy to add you, give you a shout out at the appropriate time of year. If it's your birthday and you weren't on the calendar this year, we wish you all the best. Happy holidays and a wonderful birthday as well. Yes.
So, you know, there's something to be said for, you know, stopping in your prime, you know, when your show is really good, but we passed that point, so just keep going.
When was it? What week was that?
I think what show was that?
We haven't reached a prime yet. I'm waiting for it.
Just keep moving. Yeah, the prime. Yeah, we missed it somewhere. I don't know.
That's the thing you don't know when you've hit your prime, per se. You just like,
oh, that's sad.
Yeah, and what happens?
That's sad. We don't know when to quit area.
Yeah.
And then you're like, you look back and you're like, oh.
I thought maybe the studio would have some help. Look how good it was for Slice.
Exactly. Oh.
And Brian's witnessing this whole train wreck.
Oh, no. It's hilarious because, you know, it's so funny. You know, I laugh because, you know, we did so many shows of Slice when we do like three shows in a week, you know, and then we just space them out. Mm-hmm. And just amazing. Your numbers just like fly by and you're like, oh, we're reaching, you know, show blah, blah. And just amazing how fast it goes by. And then you're like, and you look back and you're like, oh, wow, we've already done something like this before. You know, when you get to the stories at that point, it's like, wow. But you guys still got to keep it fresh. You keep it fresh. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Hanging out and having fun.
Exactly.
This is how I keep it fresh. See this bourbon right here?
He's still drinking. He's a washed up drunk podcaster.
I got it. Listen, you listen here.
Back in my day,
we run our own RSS feeds.
Hello, Ossifer. Take me drunk. I'm home.
All right. Who's first up to read?
We have robots that are having problems this week. Craig, you take this one.
This is all you, Craig.
The robot.
The first story, man.
Factory worker?
I skipped ahead. Whoa!
You know we're doing a show here?
No. I had a link for the next section.
News story number
one.
So, go.
So, factory workers speared by 10 separate foot-long metal spikes after a robot malfunctions.
Yeah.
So,
Brian, you want to see these
welcome
pictures?
Welcome our robot overlords.
I'm not showing the pictures of the injured man.
I saw him. I saw him online. I saw this thing. It's like brutal.
Hold on. Let's talk about this. So a 49-year-old porcelain factory worker in China was recently impaled by 10 separate foot-long metal spikes after an industrial robotic arm malfunctioned and fell on him. Okay, fell on him. Oh, yeah. Well, there's no way you can convince me that those aren't weapons. So, quote, six steel rods fixed on a steel plate pierced his right shoulder and chest, and four penetrated elsewhere on his
body. One looked like it was in his lower back. They looked
pretty horrible.
So, what are you on Reddit? Is that where you see these not safe for work pictures? Anyway, so during the operation, doctors found that one of the rods missing after an artery just by 0.1 millimeters.
Ooh.
His condition is now described as stable because the robot's been removed from the equation. I'm just threw that in there. And will undergo treatment and psychotherapy.
Physiotherapy.
He
probably needs psychotherapy.
I was going to say.
It's an ATM machine. It's going to kill us all.
Well, I was reading it thinking, well, that makes sense. To assist his recovery, he is also already able to move his right arm.
Oh, that's good. Well, man, so
right arm. Yeah, that was the one that was punctured.
That was
like
punctured like six or seven times. I mean, it's insane.
He looks like voodoo doll with a.
It looks horrible.
Oh yeah,
I did not go look at the pictures. Did you?
We looked at the pictures.
Yes.
Oh yeah,
where it says right under that first picture.
Oh my gosh, I'm just looking at it now.
Yeah. Yeah. Follow the show notes if you're brave enough.
He looks like Neo, you know, like he's getting ready to have the electrodes attached to him or something.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
That is terrible. Oh, my gosh.
Well, the fact that he survived is pretty good. He's pretty lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. All it would have taken is a collapsed lung or two.
Well, that one in his back, I'm surprised it looks didn't collapse.
Looks like most of it is in his right side.
Most, his heart, arm and shoulder and everything. So, but still, the fact that it missed an artery is pretty amazing.
All right. This
when I first saw this article, by the way, reading it, I just saw the title. I just imagined something broke and it slung these metal pieces, you know, in the air. The robot slung around
just
or
like
something.
Flipped them all out.
I should have.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. My.
All right.
What was the robot? Why did that robot have spikes?
Some sort of porcelain factory. I don't know. I don't know how it was built. But they don't really go into that.
You know what? Maybe it was to hold the pieces. Because if you a porcelain, if they glaze it and stuff, you don't want something sticking to it. You want to like little pieces.
Oh,
maybe
probably. And then it fell when it fell on him. It just like.
See, who's the drinking one here?
Yeah. Craig, have some more. Yeah,
his imagination is doing very well.
Brian, yeah. I know stuff.
Yeah, I know you know stuff.
All right, let's do another fun robot story.
So, what was the title on this one?
Russian state TV shows off.
Oh, the robot that actually is man. Yeah, Russian state TV.
By the way, it did not impale spikes on anybody.
No, it did not. So Russian state TV apparently became confused yesterday while airing footage of technology forum aimed at kids. A TV reporter proclaimed that Boris the robot, as seen in the article, has already learned to dance and is not that bad. The only problem is it's a guy in a robot suit. Hello.
Spoiler alert.
So this quote robot actually retails for about 250,000, rubles, which is about $3,770. And that's reported by The Guardian. And it's made the company called Show Robots is made by them. Boris features glowing eyes and plastic parts and shockingly human-like movement, probably because you need to have somebody inside of it to move it.
I love the picture that's on the screen right now. It's like, the TV reporter kind of spotted that. He has a rather human neck inside.
Yeah, it's like, hey, guess what? There's like somebody's neck. You can see it right in the gaps of where it is. Yeah, it's
at
like,
least put on a black sweater like you're a stormtrooper or something.
Yes, you can't.
Turtleneck,
kind of, yeah. That is not right. Robot is a robot, not man.
It's now called a phobot.
Phobot, yes. Yes, of course, you know, people saw it and called them out on it. Now
it's a fupa robot.
Now, to be clear, the organizers of the tech forum were not trying to deceive anyone. This means that basically the TV presenter said, oh, look at that really realistic robot, basically. Reporters are dumb.
Trying to play it up or
yeah, probably. The broadcast is still available on the Russia's 24 YouTube channel.
Okay.
So basically you can go look at it. Basically the organizers meant this to be clearly a fun attraction for kids, but it's apparently getting harder and harder to tell the real thing from the fakes, at least if you're a Russian reporter. So
did it pass the Turing test?
Yeah, exactly. It did in flying colors, amazingly enough. I don't know why.
It's the only robot with pattern recognition.
Now, the thing is that, you know, robots are becoming more and more human-ish, that they can mimic human behavior, at least, movement-wise. You know, we got Atlas, they mentioned that as well. You know, Atlas, made by Boston Dynamics, doing backflips, which is pretty impressive.
You've seen
the video.
Yes.
Yeah, those things, oh my gosh, it's just almost freaky to watch those things.
Yeah, and don't forget that Russian TV last summer unveiled a fake military robot as well, so
about the blue lady here.
That was the Honeywell's Miss Robot thing, if I remember
correctly. She looks like one of the extras from like Power Rangers.
Oh jeez. Oh Russia, go home, you're drunk.
In other news,
I love this article. I read this last week too.
I think we've done a story very similar to this year after year after year. This is the 25 most popular passwords of 2018 will make you feel like a security genius. That's right. For the last 7 years, Splash Data has revealed its annual list of most commonly used passwords of the year. This time around, the results reveal that Well, we still have work to do.
You think?
That's putting it lightly. The 2018 Worst Passwords of the Year list is determined after Splash Data evaluated over 5 million passwords that have leaked online in the last year. The top two slots have been left unchanged for the fifth year in a row.
Oh, they are
maddeningly 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Didn't anybody watch Spaceballs?
No.
And
yeah.
Password!
One. Yeah, password.
The next five consecutive spots were other assortments of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 1, 1, 1, 1, 1.
Yeah, you had more numbers.
Right. Oh, that makes it harder to guess.
Exactly.
Several of the 25 included passwords were repeats from previous years, but there were a handful of new ones. Let's get to those. Some were more poignant than in hellish years, like 666666 and bang at hash dollar percent. They're just going across the row with the shift keys on it. And Donald compared to inexplicably optimistic sounding ones like Sunshine and Princess. Sorry, Mr. President, but that was not fake news. Using your name or any other common name as a password is a dangerous decision.
By the way, that was probably his password.
I'm probably certain it was simple.
Actually, it was huge. My password is the hugest password ever.
Spelled with Y U.
That's right. Yeah. It's the best password ever.
Y U U J.
You're right. Actually, that's my Twitter password.
On the news. It's, by the way, my password is not my name.
That's right. The Donald Trump. It is the, remember, the is very important in front of it.
All right, real quick in the list. Number one, Donald. Of course, as we said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 is still unchanged. Number two is password, still in the top two spots. Up three from last year. I feel like Casey Kasem. Up three from last year. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Down one this year in the countdown is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, because it's not as secure.
And this one's going out to Craig in Kentucky.
Holding steady at number five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Long distance dedication.
I'm going to ask you guys, do you guys have different passwords for every website?
Yes.
Pretty much.
How about you, Craig?
There's a couple repeats that I'm forced to use because their algorithms are too simple. They say, we can't have special characters. Like, oh, gosh.
Or someone can only have certain special characters.
Right.
Yeah, there was a couple of websites I was like, are you kidding me?
I know.
It was like,
it's like you're forcing me to make it simple.
So, Craig, my suggestion to you as your dear friend is buy a password manager. Get one. KeyPass. Right,
back up.
Yeah.
I use LastPass.
Okay, LastPass is good too as well. That's what I use.
Yeah. I've been using it for years. I have to because I've done work for not only, work, but I've done stuff for other people. And so I'm like, okay, I got to have these passwords somewhere. So I have to keep them in LastPass. Otherwise, it drives me crazy. But LastPass does a good job of listing the ones for a website. But anyway, short answer is there over the years, yes, I have used the same password on some of my own personal sites. But I've been slowly going through them and cleaning them up, changing them up.
That's good.
Because it does take a while. But the thing about LastPass is there's a database there I can work with and go, I need to change this one. I need to change this one and kind of work through it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Yeah. And if you don't want to spend the money on it, KeyPass is a freeware. It's a fantastic.
That's the one I use.
Yeah. We use it at work all the time. It's fantastic.
And I make sure that one of my passwords is Donna's KeyPass vault and she's got the same thing to mine. So, in case something happens to your spouse, you're not locked down. Go, well, I don't know any of their password. You should at least know their master password.
Exactly.
That's the important one. The rest can be found. If it's not in there, it's my fault. Then
you'll
that's
work around
on me.
It. Yeah. Yeah.
And
I was guilty over the years of signing up for crap and using the same password. But yeah, LastPass is really. Now, the real thing I like about LastPass, and I'm not sure if it's under the free version. Some sites, you can just go through and say, this password's expired, and it'll auto-change them for you.
LastPass will do that on the paid version for sure.
Paid. That's trying to remember.
LastPass, yeah.
LastPass, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So not all sites, but there's a good many of them that support that.
Yeah, you can put a timer on it, essentially. It says, hey, by the way, you've been using this password for a while. Change it.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice.
Yeah, it's good.
We get those warnings at work. Your password will expire in 2 weeks. Oh, boy.
Yeah, okay, well, I've got I got 13 days before I need
exactly, before I have to call the help desk and say, I'm locked out. I need my password reset.
I have even more fun because it's all controlled by SSO. So you go into the repo, you know, you got to change it in a certain way. And then there's the other work machine that has to stay in sync.
Of course. Uh-huh. Yeah, see, we have that same thing. We have the encryption on our hard drives and that you have to change ahead of time. Otherwise, it gets out of sync and you can't get into your computer, essentially. Yeah, it's fun, especially people who are remote. Good times.
Hey, I want to ask you, though. I love KeePass. I love open source, and it's an open source project. I also like LastPass because of the integration with like Chrome and my mm-hmm. Android phone. Mm-hmm. Which do you prefer? I mean, I obviously use KeePass, but does it really matter?
I think that KeePass is a little bit, I have more control over it because I have control over where the key master file and database is.
That's true.
So for me, I like KeePass for that security reason wise. Yep. For convenience wise, LastPass is amazing. I plunk down my money every year. I'm like, yeah, take my money.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah. But I mean,
so you use both?
I use both. Yeah, I use KeePass for work primarily, and then I use LastPass for my personal stuff.
Oh, interesting. Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. I try to keep them in one place, but that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, that way I keep my work life and my personal life divided.
I thought you said your work wife and your.
My work wife and my real wife, I keep them divided as well. You know, it's the thing. And same with my work girlfriend and my work mistress. I kind of keep them all away from each other, you know.
Just don't call Mary by your work wife's name.
Exactly. Because she'd be like, no,
what? He violates the password rule and just calls them both Mary.
But Mary, exactly. Yeah.
No, that way you don't have to worry about screwing up. But it's not all that secure.
It's really easy because my work wife's name is Frank. So it's a little different.
TMI there, buddy. TMI.
It's 2018. We're open. Man. Come on. This is a safe place. No judgment. No judgment.
I'm not judging. Judgment. Save it for Ben and Keith's show. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, come on. Come on. Let's hug it out, Chuck.
Later.
Later.
Say that for the Patreon show.
Speaking of Ben and Keith's show, this week they're coming out with episode 200.
Oh, so that's good for them. Congrats to them.
Nod to TG Geeks. Find them at tggeeks.com. There you go. 200 shows for them. And we'll be hanging out with them on the 23rd? Yep. They're having a social here in Phoenix. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and be right back with the Hacks and Strange Stories, Remember When, and a few other things. So stick with us. Play that bean footage.
Geek Thoughts.
If clouds are made of condensed water vapor, then is cloud software really just vaporware?
Hi, this is Garrett Wong, Ensign Harry Kim from Star Trek Voyager, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
Might get to see him on the cruise.
Yeah, hey, I'm ready for the cruise, man. Check
who's all going to be on your cruise with you guys?
Oh, my goodness. The list is pretty long.
Is it pretty long? Okay.
Let me here. I'll go to...
Well, there's 4,000 people on the ship. Where do you want me to start?
Wreck, cruise.
Headliners?
2019. Yeah. It'll take us to the site. Where is this? Star Trek Cruise 3. Beam us up. Let's see.
Oh, man.
Will
look
Wheaton,
at that.
Jason Isaacs.
Jonathan Frakes,
Brent Spiner, Michael Dorn, Gates McFadden, Denise Crosby, John DeLancey. Shall we continue?
That John DeLancey?
Mary Chifo. Kenneth Mitchell. Rekha Sharma.
Oh, Rekha Sharma's on there. She's nice.
Yes. Renee Auberjonois.
Ooh.
And Nana Visitor.
She's so talented.
I know Will Wheaton's on this list somewhere.
Yeah, he was the first.
He's the host.
Casey Biggs. Yeah,
Chase Masterson's on.
Masterson, yep.
Chase is nice. She's a nice lady.
Max Grodinchek. Ethan Phillips.
Ethan Phillips is going to be there. Cool.
Yes. Bob Picardo. Yep. Connor Trinneer. Michael Westmore. They're scrolling from...
And Will Wheaton again. So we're back at the beginning.
Are we back at the beginning?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Okay, yep. And I think there were a few that aren't even on that list. I got her.
No, there's quite a few of them.
Yep.
Can you see my video?
Dr. Phil Plate.
Yeah, Dr. Phil Plate. We met him before at Dragon Con. So
Thomas Dolby? Wow.
The Thomas Dolby?
Yeah.
That Thomas Dolby?
That Thomas Dolby.
Or the one that came
that Thomas Dolby.
There are two people.
This is the second
famous
one.
People with the famous Thomas Dolby name.
So
where were we? We were on Hacks of Strange Stories. Here we go. There we are.
This is Craig.
All right, Craig, I hope this link works because it wasn't working before. You said you got it
fixed. I fixed it. I told you I fixed it.
All right, yeah. Go for it.
Oh, wait. I got to read something? I got to put my...
Put your drink down.
Put your rose-colored glasses off, man.
There we go. I can read now. Wow, I'm going to tell you.
Rose-colored glasses, too. That's the scary part.
Yeah, to go from those to readables. Wow. Wow, that's a big difference. So, an alien spacecraft? Question mark. UFO spotted hurtling above the Earth in the background behind Elon Musk's SpaceX rocket launch is proof.
Yeah.
Proof, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Proof.
Of extraterrestrials. Say conspiracy theorist.
Meanwhile.
Yeah, conspiracy theorists say UFO spotted the background of footage from Elon Musk's SpaceX rocket launch that could be an alien spacecraft.
Could be. Could be being the operative word.
Yes.
Yeah, right. The black dot barely visible behind the firm's red Tesla and its passenger spaceman is one of the number of strange objects being discussed online. This particular entity can be seen as it hurtles across the Earth, seemingly at high speed. And other unusual images picked up by extraterrestrial hunters in the live video stream from the launch include a tube-like item and brightly colored lights. You can see there's a picture. I'm not sure if you're showing that on the stream. I'm sure you probably are.
No. That was the Amazon Echo that fell out of the car.
No, it's just Elon Musk tooling around in his private space vehicle.
Parts falling off the Tesla. You didn't buy the extended warranty. Yeah,
it's the 8-track going out of the car, falling out of the...
You know what? I'm sorry. You know what just went through my mind? Empire Strikes Back was re-released in the theater in the mid-90s, you know, the special edition.
Mm-hmm.
We were in the theater, and, you know, Luke falls through the shaft, and he catches himself with his knees on the antenna array thing.
Yes. Right?
And then you see something kind of fall. My friend shouted out in the theater, "My wallet!"
Oh, man.
And I thought about that when they circled the little black thing falling. My wallet!
The keys to my X-Wing!
Yeah. Wasn't his lightsaber?
Yeah.
I mean, it was Dad's lightsaber.
How'd he get it back? Now?
I thought it was Darth Vader's lightsaber. I mean, the original one that Ben had given him.
How'd he get it back?
Who knows?
And what was Darth
Vader? He didn't know, because remember he made one for the third movie.
So Darth was fighting with a
new lightsaber, his red lightsaber. Remember his original lightsaber he gave to Ben. Yeah.
Give me back my lightsaber, boy.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I think we're slightly off on a tangent.
Are we? All right, let's get back to the story. You're right. We're off on a tangent again.
Your point being?
Isn't this show all about tangents?
Yes.
The topic is aliens.
Okay,
all right,
sorry.
So millions of people watched the launch of the Falcon Heavy, which took off from the same launch pad used by NASA for earlier Apollo missions.
They didn't even have the brilliance to capitalize NASA. Who wrote this? The Daily Mail. Okay.
Well, it's British. Capitalized, but not every letter.
It's proper cased. It's not, anyway. Yeah.
All right, nearly 50, who's drinking, Chuck? Nearly 50 years
Don't
ago,
drink,
the Kennedy
Chuck,
Space
it's bad for you.
Hey. Nearly 50 years ago, the Kennedy Space Sentry.
That's UK Mail. Yep.
Yeah.
Sentry. In Cape Canaveral, Florida, saw the blast off of the Apollo 11 craft, which took man to the moon.
Yes.
This week's SpaceX mission is part of the CEO Elon Musk's plan to send man to Mars and to perfect the firm's reusable rocket technology.
Mm-hmm.
To mark the occasion, the Hawthorne, California firm live streamed the launch, which saw a red Tesla Roadster carrying a mannequin.
This is an old article, isn't it?
When did they run
this? This is not the article. This is from earlier.
9th of February, 2018. Oh, updated. Hey, no.
Back up. So just to tell you, I think I've got the wrong link here, but
Technorama, we time travel for you. We just went the wrong direction.
Now listen. So they sent up the capsule that was supposed to refuel and resupply the ISS this week.
Yeah.
Right? This last week. So there is some images where there is a questionable artifact, but looks like a ship or something passing behind it.
Okay.
In space. And they changed they enhanced the image as best they could. Then they inverted it, made it a negative, and you can kind of see its shape. Mm-hmm. I wish I put the right link in here.
All right.
We'll see. That's okay. The whole thing is basically that, you know, every time they seem to launch something, conspiracy theorists basically say, look, there's proof of aliens behind that because there's some weird artifact within whatever the video is, basically.
Right.
So, yeah.
The truth is, there's stuff flying around in space. It's parts from other stuff flying around in space.
It's a giant garbage ring.
It is pretty much now. And you got to watch out because that stuff is moving fast and it'll kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I got the right link in there now. I must have just grabbed the first link.
Well, you destroyed the text. Phone. You gotta hit the change link thing.
There you go. No, I had to change the whole text. The whole thing was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go look at the video that I just linked to, it shows that during the live stream of the capsule as it's floating in space, you can see that there's something behind it. Some looks like lights, and then they end up enhancing it, and you can see a little more of a definition of a shape.
Oh, yeah, I kind of see it a little bit there.
In the lower right?
Yeah. Lower right, yeah.
But towards the end, they make it where the space is white, and you can kind of, it stands out a little bit more.
Is it moving against the background? Because it kind of looks like the background from here.
Yeah, they enhance it, and it looks like something else. And then, so yeah, is it, you know, is it something?
There's a big ad on there.
Hey, I want to believe.
That's okay. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, the fact of the matter is there is life out there. It's probably not what we think it is. It's probably on a molecular level.
Yeah.
But it is out there. We know this. I mean, it just...
Killer bacteria from Omicron Persei 6.
I just watched it in the strain. So.
If there is other intelligent life in the universe, I'm scared to look at their internet.
Fair enough.
We have evolved beyond the internet.
We are the internet.
Hey, wouldn't that be pretty cool? Just think of it for a second. So if we kind of contacted an alien species that was roughly evolved like us, and they had their own planetary network. What happened? What would be cool if? Wouldn't it be cool if we ended up connecting those two networks?
The intergalactic net.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just think, you know, share websites and share. Email.
They're like, the hottest thing on our internet is peeling of human peeling potatoes.
You silly humans, you are still at TCP/IP.
Yes, exactly. You don't need
another
IPv12.
From these earthlings.
IPv12.
Yeah. IPv12.
Another cat video from these earthlings.
Yes, exactly. We meet alien life, and what do they learn? How'd they learn about us? They scanned our internet. We are doomed. Doomed, I tell you. Doomed.
Yeah. They're going to kill themselves.
Yeah, we'll just sit back and watch. Take the resources afterwards.
The latency is killing us.
The latency. I'm getting fragged. All right, so I'm sorry that I put the wrong link in there.
Oh, that's fine.
Right. Quick shout out to the chat room. Craig, who do you see? Because I don't have Facebook up here.
Well, let's take a look here. I see John Miller Jr.
This is like romper room at this point.
Weber Baker and Mark Trouble.
Mark Trouble.
The
Mark Trouble.
Yeah. All right.
That Mark Trouble.
No Scott Tyler? I'm disappointed.
I don't see Scott. He must be getting ready for
the
Christmas.
He's got company this weekend.
Ah, okay. That explains it.
Yep. Hey, well, you know, you can Chromecast this to your big TV.
We'll amuse the company. Yeah, sure.
These are the people that call me friend.
I hang out with them every year. Every year.
Once a year, I got to get my butt in the truck.
Oh, man. That's funny.
Hey, I got to tell you, looking back at the year, I think one of the highlights of my year, one of the things that we did, not just Dragon Con, but it was that whole Sunday playing D&D. I had such a good time that whole entire day.
That's one.
I still think about that. I know. I'm thinking back. You know, I'm like, you know, I really had a great time that Sunday. My son was there. You, Scott, Clinton, everybody. You know,
I love you
earbuds.
Guys.
We had a great time.
It's the bourbon talking.
It's the bourbon. It's totally. He's at that stage, like, and I love you, man. And I played D&D.
Brian, I even wish you were there.
I wish I could get back to Dragon Con. That's one of my hopes.
I think about Scott. I think about that Sunday.
Good times. Good times.
All righty.
Screw you guys.
You can join us every Sunday at 9:30 p.m. for another Love Fest on Facebook.
Well, it'll be after the new year, though, correct?
Yes.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Here you go. Let's do this right.
He's got his rose-colored glasses.
I had a great time, dude.
It's his Jack Jaffe impersonation.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, baby.
Okay. No,
hey, Brian, I'm actually, this is for my 60s night. On the cruise.
Yeah, they have different theme nights.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
It's like a pajama party. There's 60 night. There's, yeah.
And to go along with this, I have my tie-dyed Star Trek shirt. I'm ready.
Is it a red tie-dye shirt?
No. There's no red.
A tie-dye red shirt?
Bummer.
No, you know how you
don't
ever
say
see a tie-dye
and
they,
red shirt in the same sentence.
No, you know they do the tie-dye and they do the, like a heart or something.
Oh, yeah.
This was the Delta Shield and it kind of tie-dyes out. I was like, I've got to have that. I would have bought it anyway.
Very cool.
I would have bought it anyway, regardless if I needed it.
Can we do the Remember When?
Sure.
All right. I got to hit the Remember When music. There we go. Since Craig had his 60s glasses out, why not talk about Frank Zappa?
Frank Zappa.
I love Frank Zappa. Let me just state that up front.
Frank Zappa. Let's see. The planned estate approved Frank Zappa hologram tour has recruited its band of former mothers for the Bizarre World of Frank Zappa track. The tour kicks off later this year. The Mothers alumni set. This isn't exactly Zappa music in the background, but we'll go with it.
Yeah.
No. It could be. No, it could be.
The Mothers alumni set to make special appearances on the hologram tour included longtime Zappa collaborators Steve Vai, Napoleon Murphy Brock, Ian Underwood, and Joe's Garage Vets, Warren
Cucurello,
yep. Vinny, gotta help me with
Colonita?
Colaiuta?
Colaiuta, I think it is, yeah.
Arthur Barrow and Ed Mann. The tour unit itself boasts guitarist Ray White and Mike Keneally, bassist Scott Thunes.
Thunes? Yep.
Multi-instrumentalist Robert Martin and drummer and Zappa archivist Joe Vaultmeister Travers.
That's a pretty good lineup, man.
Quote, future. Oh, yeah. Do we have tour dates and locations yet? That's what I want to know.
No.
Oh, man.
No, I don't think they've announced anything yet.
Nope, not yet.
I think,
Quote, as a futurist and hologram enthusiast, Frank fearlessly broke through boundary after boundary as an artist, and in honoring his indomitable spirit, we're about to do it again. 25 years after his passing, Zappa's son and co-trustee, the Zappa Family Trust, Ahmet Zappa, said in a statement, "This mind-melting show we're putting together celebrates the music, often surreal imagery and humor synonymous with Frank. We will be pushing the limits of what anyone has seen holographically on stage before in a live venue. Circumstances, objects, places, and subject matter from Frank's songs and imagination will be brought to life for the first time on stage. We are anthropomorphizing Frank's music so his own hand-drawn illustrations, classic imagery from his album artwork, and characters from his songs can all interact and perform on stage." That sounds really wild.
Well, not only that.
But wait a minute. Wait a second. Go down a little bit further.
Yeah.
He actually thought about this back then and recorded video just for this kind of a show.
My father and I actively discussed 3D and holography, and it was a concept he actively engaged in. He is actually devoted half a chapter of his Real Frank Zappa book to this subject. This is a love letter and journey celebrating the genius artistry of Frank Zappa. On a personal note, I feel like I am finishing something my father started years ago, Ahmet Zappa added. And let's not forget, Frank himself will be rocking his fans alongside his bandmates like nobody's business.
Think of the technical challenges and how on point it's going to have to be for certain things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty impressive just thinking about that.
Well, if you've practiced as a band for that long, mm-hmm. and you toured and you
should have lots of cues for things and such. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'll bet you, after doing it, you could just sit down, pick it up, and do it again.
Yeah, done. Yeah,
yeah. I there will be challenges, no doubt, mm-hmm. that we probably won't even perceive.
But it's still really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat.
I'm serious. I did read where they had recorded with several cameras a video of him playing without an audience. They were playing just like they would on a tour.
Uh-huh,
and
okay.
I think it's in his book where that's what they were talking about. So they would have the video for this when the technology got to the point.
That's cool.
Isn't that mind blowing?
It is.
I think they should do it with Queen.
Oh, bring Freddie to life.
You know what? I would go watch another. Well, it's not that long, but I would go watch Live Aid again. Well, I can do it on YouTube, I guess.
That's true. You can.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Anyway, I love Zappa. I would totally go to this show.
That's really sounds really cool. Sounds like it'd be quite an event. That's for sure.
Yeah, actually, I was a backer of the Frank Zappa, Jonathan Winters.
Frank Zappa Winters?
Edgar Winters?
What's his name? My mind's blank. Bill and Ted Winters. Alex Winters.
Yeah.
Alex Winters has been archiving all of his material because there was a Kickstarter for a documentary on Frank Zappa.
Interesting.
And yeah, so I was like, you know what? I'm throwing money at this because I want to see this. And he was the promo video. He was trying to get people to back. He was walking through the archives in his in Frank Zappa's basement. And it's just film. There's some magnetic video. There's recordings of almost everything. He was meticulous about recording his stuff and cataloging it. So it's all there. They've cataloged it all. They restored a lot of it. So they're going to have a documentary. And I think that's in the phase they are finally in now, because it's been like over a year since this is finished. But they're in the phase where they're putting together a documentary. And I'm like, what do you choose to be in the documentary with so much stuff?
Well, you think
there
about
was that. Also like Prince, part of the Kickstarter, huh?
Like Prince. Prince had left so much material behind that mm-hmm. how do you go through it all, pick what's good, what's crap, and that sort of thing. It just seems that's
a huge
task.
People want to see it all, I guess, regardless. But there was I don't know that they ever do this, but there was a point when they were, because they're digitizing all of it. There was this like if we get to this level on the Kickstarter, everybody will have access to the Frank Zappa archive app where you can like just pull up stuff on your phone or on your computer and just go through the archives. And I was like, oh, I so want that so bad. I'd pay $50 just to have access to that. Watch old concerts, whatever. I get emails from time to time, and the stuff like, it's the practice sessions and all kinds of stuff that they found in there. It was ridiculous.
That's really cool.
I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
All right. We have to thank our patrons.
Oh, yeah.
They're awesome.
Oh, yeah, them.
Whoops, that's the ending song. That's not the right one.
We're not ending yet.
There we go. Thank you to our patrons. This show is brought to you by you, and we greatly appreciate your continued contributions to the show. For as little as $1 a show, you can get this and other content specially made for our patrons. Thank you very much to Kyle Nishioka, Abner Braverman, Ben Vaughn, Mike Wills, Mega Podtastics, Crazy Joe, Night Gig Studios, JT Shea, Gary Lindros, John Clifford, Leon, John Noble.
That John Noble?
No, he's the other John Noble. This is the real John Noble.
This is the John Noble with the goatee from the Mirror Universe. Yeah,
the evil John Noble.
Right.
Maybe not so evil, just kind of misunderstood.
Chris MC, Alexis Duran, Saturday Morning Media's Grandpa Choco, Steve Therian, Jorgis Rowan, John Miller Jr. Wow, this list is getting better and better every week. And we want to see you on this because we've got our latest people, Amber Elstad, Harold McKinstry, and our returning special contributor, Amy Bowen.
Woohoo! Hey, Amy.
Thank you very much. By the way,
we have a story about Amy in a minute.
Yes, we do. You can join these people if you wish, again, for as little as $1 a show over at patreon.com/technoramapodcast. And we will give you a shout out in each show, like we do these wonderful people, and get you special content that we're going to be discussing right after we shut down the video feed. We go right into recording that. So they get special insights and thoughts, and it is not a formatted show. It is an open conversation that leads that wherever
goes
it wants.
Lots of places.
It's a feature, not a bug.
It's a feature, not a bug. I think maybe that's what we should have called it.
Yeah, no joke. Man. We go everywhere, trust me. Yeah, we really do.
Nothing is off limits on that show. And we start with topic A, and we used to play this game at work called How Do You Get to Boxcar Willie? And we would pick a random topic and see if we could link this conversation and somehow get to Boxcar Willie. It was just a challenge.
Nice.
It was a lunchtime thing.
I remember
thing
back
we did.
In school, they did the rumor game where they tell a story and then everybody tells it around the room and it's totally different at the end.
That's called the telephone.
Yeah.
That what it
they
is?
They played it different in the South.
They did.
Same game, different
name. We
didn't
have telephones back then. Dang it.
You just poke yourself in the eye?
Yeah, I was going to say, you okay there, Craig? Easy, pal.
Yeah, I'm all right. Yeah, I'm okay, man.
Boy,
I'm
if you're not watching the video, folks, you're missing it. You are missing it.
Chill out here. There you go.
All right. Hey, we got a Daredevil story. Well, it's sort of related to Daredevil. We love that show. Brian, would you care to?
So, Deborah Ann Woll, who serves, played, what was her character in Daredevil?
Karen Page.
She is going to be a DM in a brand new Dungeons & Dragons show, which will launch in 2019. So Geek & Sundry, which has got some great shows on it, has announced Relics and Rarities, a new show premiering on its streaming channel, Alpha, in February. The series will star Woll as one of the stars of the recently canceled Daredevil series.
Recently canceled?
Yes. Spoiler
Too
alert.
Soon.
She's going to be the DM in a new brand new D&D campaign set entirely in the world created by Woll herself. So that's pretty cool. Ooh. She is a well-known D&D enthusiast and spoken about her time playing D&D on the sets of Daredevil and True Blood. Woll, can you imagine playing D&D on the sets of Daredevil or True Blood?
Oh my God, that would be awesome.
Sorry, but anyway.
I want to be in show business.
She's appeared in an episode of D&D live play series Force Grey as a player and recently DM'd One-Shot Adventure during D&D Stream of Many Eyes event. the core cast of the show will include Tommy Walker, Daredevil and Harvey Danger, Julia Dennis, Lofty Dreams, What Would You Do, Jasmine Bullar, Starter Kit, Vampire the Masquerade, Twitch's That Bronze Girl, and Xander Generat, King of Nerds, Sega of Sundries. Celebrity guests will also appear in each episode. I imagine Will Wheaton will make an appearance.
Oh, yeah.
The series is described as part procedural, and it seems to involve murder of some kind. The storyline will also involve players racing to stop an unholy prophecy from coming to fruition. The press release of the series teases that Relics and Rarities will be more than typical D&D campaign. Intricate set. You can watch the video. It's in the link.
Okay.
Real-world props and puzzles, in addition to typical dice rolling and imaginative role-playing. So they're going to kind of do it like... more interactive, I imagine. It has to be. So, coincidentally, Woll is appearing in tonight's episode of Critical Role, another D&D series originally produced by Geek & Sundry. Critical Role is amazing. If you never watched it, it's a lot of fun.
I think they ought to do that reality show format where they go into battle and then they take you aside and they talk to the actor. Well, you know, I thought Jerry was really going to back me up with this with his magic sword, but kind of let me down.
Kind of let me down. His dice really
and
let me down.
Then they go back to the action. They cut to the other actors.
You rub a couple of gold coins together, and he's on your side. Mm.
That's actually not a bad pitch.
Next time we're near the dragon, I'm throwing Dave in the pit.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, if the healer doesn't heal me again like they're supposed to, man. I don't know what I'm going to do next.
Clerics, I tell you.
Yeah, clerics.
They can't do a darn thing.
If that stupid mage casts fireball on us again, I'm going to player kill him. Simple as that.
I want to do a show like that.
I know. It sounds awesome. It's a great idea.
It might just work. Not someone's going to take it and run with it. Chuck, they already did that.
Yeah, like, thanks.
Oh! Every time. Every time.
Hey, you got 2 days before this post to get your idea.
Yeah.
Not the people watching live.
Chuck, if I had a gold piece for every time I heard that, let me tell you.
Tell you. All right. Craig, you hinted at our last story. Go ahead. Give the news of one of our good friends that we just mentioned.
Yeah, so Amy Bowen and her crew, cosplay crew, went and gathered some money for a family in need at Christmas time. So you have to go watch the video and see the whole thing, but and you'll see Amy in the video. But so Omaha family gets a Star Wars surprise. So every year, the Salvation Army's Adopt a Family program helps provide gifts for families in need during the holiday. Thursday night, rebels and stormtroopers joined forces near the 50th and L Street to give a family of nine a Star Wars surprise they will never forget. So they gathered some money. I think they started texting each other and working together, getting together some money. And they got some money together, bought some presents, and delivered them to the family in costume as Jedis and stormtroopers alike together.
It's really, really cool, actually.
Yeah, mm-hmm. What a great idea.
A lot of stuff like that. But yeah, you can see Amy right on the video in her costume doing her thing. It's really cool.
There she is. Yeah, there she is right there. That's pretty awesome.
At first, I thought that was Brian Parker as one of the other Jedis. Like, what's he doing?
What's he doing in Omaha?
He got the call. He's there.
Well, it's really cool that they did that. That's the Adopt a Family's really neat program.
It's a nice piece on the news too. It's nice to see
nice
good
things.
News.
Yeah. I know. There like was. We see so much of the swamp. That
yeah. It's you nice know, my only problem with it, my first thought was, you know how when you're wearing those costumes, it gets really kind of sweaty, right?
Not in Omaha this time.
Wait
of
a
year.
Minute. Wait a minute. So listen, you know, at Dragon Con or where we've seen, you know, you wear those costumes, it gets a little hot in there. Well, at the end of the video, one of the people in the family that they went and visited, the stormtrooper has the kid wearing his helmet. I'm like, I don't know if I'd want to do that.
Yeah. Just keep warm. That helmet's going to smell real funky, kid. Yeah. Sorry.
You can put it on, but use it at your own risk.
Yeah.
Smells like a combination of a locker and Lysol in here.
It smells like rotten cheese pizza.
Smells like grandpa.
Well, all right, let's go back to the focus of it. It was a good thing.
Yeah, it was
I
a good
like
thing.
Cosplayer groups do stuff like that.
That is really cool.
Amy.
Good job, Amy. You guys rock.
All right, well, that takes us to the end of the show. We are just over an hour. I glance at the play clock. It's 1:01.
Okay.
You know what? It's Christmas.
Question of the week, though, before we go.
Question of the week is, what has been the best thing you have discovered on the internet? And I unfortunately posted this question today instead of yesterday, last week's question. So Craig
what were
came
some
and,
of the answers? I see you got 33 of them on your
You
on
want
your
the
Facebook.
Answers.
You want to
run through all right, let me bring
this. Well,
you run
be,
through them because, we're going
okay. to be gone.
It'll be way too long and nobody will remember. So let's see. I should have a notification. People still commenting on this
here
thing.
Go. Friendships and podcasters. The ability to communicate with as many people without losing all of my spoons.
Evo says, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it.
I know what it is. I know what it is.
Washed eyes?
Porn. Porn.
Porn.
Oh. Is that why Jack went, cough?
Yeah, exactly. And I went, do tell, and I already knew what it was, though, so...
That's funny.
Melissa Bartel says, awesome people who are no less friends because we haven't met in person. My husband, 24 years in March, and this. They fight crime.
Movie idea generator. Yep. It's awesome.
Jack Jaffe says,
don't click.
Make sure to watch until the end. Okay, don't click.
It's 10-hour
Nyan Cat. Oh, my God.
Nyan Cat, no.
Kent Mikely, my karate buddy and jujitsu instructor says GracieUniversity.com. Any chance to plug Gracie University?
Yes.
That's good. But that is on the internet and they do offer other lessons. I do know that as a blue belt, you can go back and watch these lessons over
so
and
you
over.
Can get,
exactly.
Nice.
In fact, he took a picture the other night. I'm like, I know how this starts, but I can't remember. Anyway, it's been
let me go
six
to the video.
Years.
Let me go to the video.
Yeah. Gary Wondrash, who also used to work out at the karate school with me, says, that you can learn so much stuff about politics and chemtrails and how bad vaccines are for you. And if you copy and share a notification about Facebook's algorithms, you will see all your friends' posts, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, with laughy faces all over it.
Yeah. Okay. Technorama, of course.
Yeah, Technorama.
John Chapin, I hesitate to confess this. It's just you and me talking, right, Chuck? But I really like to watch Shark Attack videos. Can't explain it, but for me, the power of the internet is that it brings gruesome biting and chomping to my life.
Good for you, John.
Just come to work with me.
Good for you.
Joe Fiore says, my wife. That's the most amazing thing you discovered on the internet.
Aww.
Good answer. Mike Wills says, my podcaster friends. What else do we have? Grandpa Choka, when I think of something that is just purely good that the internet has created, this is always the first thing I think of. And he links to a Vimeo, which Clinton replied. And this has some nice Easter eggs, too. So go through the show notes.
There's some good stuff in there.
We didn't. All right. Now that you
IMDb,
told me to do
cat
this,
videos.
I'm going to have to.
Wait a minute.
What?
Did you not see my response in there, Chuck?
I have to link to this question of the week for next time's question of the week. I'm not sure how this works. Now we are time traveling.
My podcast co-host.
Your co-host. Yeah. Aww. So, you got somebody who knows.
Read the reply there.
Oh, Brian Parker, whom we just mentioned. That Garfield minus Garfield is pretty good.
That's a great site.
That is so sad. If you don't know.
Hey, Chuck, did you not see the reply I have put under mine?
You put a reply on your own because nobody else will reply? What? Hey, don't judge. It's almost Christmas and I had to say something nice. Tis the season, Mr. Scrooge. Tis the season.
Here's your call, buddy. Garfield minus Garfield is hilarious.
Researching old family history from April Stewart. Trampas Whiteman says...
Purpose. Nice.
I learned I could write. I learned how to build websites. I learned how to be creative. Jane Langenjen says podcasting.
I like John Byers.
The internet. He discovered the internet on the internet.
Exactly.
That's my cousin.
Very cool.
Red Hastings says Jack Mangan.
Jack Mangan. Aww.
The universe revolves around Jack Mangan.
It's true.
He's the center of everybody's relationship. You may be 6 degrees away from Kevin Bacon, but I'm betting you're only one or two from Jack Mangan.
He's like the nuggety center to this candy bar of podcasting life.
When Rhett and Scott are working in the same place and Jack walks in and they say, hey Jack.
I know.
That just blows my mind.
That is pretty funny.
What's that?
When Scott and Rhett worked at the same place and then Jack Mangan walks in and they both go, hey Jack.
It's like, how do you know Jack?
Exactly.
Yeah, whoa. Mind blown.
It is mind blowing. All right, that takes us to the end, the real end of the show. We are going to get out of here. Thank you very much for joining us, Brian.
Thank you very much for having me, as always.
It's been wonderful having you around this year. Hope to see you around next year.
You will.
All right.
That's how it works.
And Craig,
great.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you, my good man.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you guys.
The rest of you that are watching and or listening, we wish you all the best. Hope you have a blessed and wonderful holiday season. No matter what holidays you're celebrating or what season this is when you're listening to it, have a good time and be excellent to each other.
That's right. We love you all. Thank you.
Good night.
You can find out all our links and show notes and voicemail and all that stuff over at chuckchat.com/technorama. But if you want to get in touch with us, there's information on the bottom of the screen. 707-530-CHAT is the number you can call if you want to get a listener line. Just say, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Until next time, give us a binary high five, Craig.
101. Thank you, Cleveland. Good night.
Cleveland?
Cleveland.
Yeah.